Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining with me on VFN Radio is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, and we are excited to be with you today as we continue to keep the light and the torch lifted. Listen, we're doing this for God, country, and Israel, God and country in that order, and of course Israel, and we are happy and pleased to be standing with you during these times. You know, we have four programs back to back to back, and if you missed any of our programs, feel free. Listen, join us on VFNTV.com, and you will see that there is a host of ways that you can connect with VFN Radio on the go. Of course, you can always listen to us if you're on the Gulf Coast and watch us on WHBR and CTN, the Christian Television Network. Check your local listings for viewing times and channels. But we're just so excited that you're part of this conversation. In today's program, we're going to be talking about how you were destined to be an overcomer. Let me tell you something. God has a plan for your life. And you have a destiny, and it's not to, you know, survive and until you make it.
Right.
No, you are called. You are called and destined to be an overcomer, and we're going to share about that. We're also going to be talking, hopefully, about fathers and what is happening in Utah. And, man, the best parent is both parents. We got to talk about this. And hopefully we will get to in today's program. I don't know if we'll be able to, but we'll get... today's program, we're going to talk about knowing God and Him knowing you, and we're going to continue, hopefully. You hang with us. We'll see. We'll see. Well, maybe we can get to a continuation of the citizenship game that we've been on, but oh my goodness. You know, Pat, the more I look at things and survey my own life and just life in general, just observe a little bit, I am getting a little bit older. Have another birthday coming up.
A lot older.
Yeah, a lot older.
You look at that chin lately?
Yeah, let's not go there. There's a couple of white hairs there.
Couple?
I know. As I was saying, you know, so many times today, you know, people are facing all sorts of trials. Mm-hmm. I mean, trials of many kind. And you're hearing, you know, a lot of things, if you're tuned into certain networks, nothing but gloom and doom. That's why we encourage you to listen to VFN Radio. You know, it's our heart's desire to share God's news behind the news with a biblical perspective that helps to shed light and a perspective that helps us to turn to God. And what is God saying about this? I know that this is happening, but what is the word of the Lord as we seek to hear, do the best that we can to find His direction and His guidance in the midst of it? But without that, mm-hmm. all you have is doom and gloom. And so you're hearing that, you're facing trials maybe at your home, maybe in your relationships, in your marriage, children, in your finances, even in your health. I mean, there's so many different type of things that can come against you. And sometimes you can even enter into a season of trials. I mean, they're like waves that just keep coming. You know, it used to be you got knocked down by a wave and then you could actually, you know, stand up and get your sea legs ready a little bit and kind of prepare yourself because you knew that the next one was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you walk into a season where these waves, Pat, these trials keep crashing, I mean, over and over. Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm glad to be back on the Gulf Coast. And over the summer, I did have a little time to get in the ocean and get out there. And my boys love when I get out there and play with them in the water and wrestle and all that good stuff. They're boys. And, you know, you get knocked down by a wave, and there's a time when you're trying to get back up again and open your eyes and get ready for the next one, and that next wave comes and knocks you right down, and you're not even fully stood up yet.
All right.
Well, trials are like that sometimes. Sometimes you enter a season, and you're just trying to, oh, what was that? And you're trying to clear your eyes and get your balance and get your footing right before the next one comes and just kind of knocks you right back down again. And James tells us, the book of James, chapter 1, of all things, it took me a while to get this, Pat. But James tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials. Not if ever.
Mm-hmm.
Not if ever.
Whenever.
Whenever you face trials of many kinds. You got to face them now.
Many.
Because you know that the testing of your faith, and if you haven't been tested, just live a little bit.
Just hang on.
Just hang on. It's coming. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. See, your faith has to be tested, and there's a perseverance that has to develop. See, you just don't have perseverance. It has to be developed. Develop means that there's a process that begins and it grows as you persevere. The scripture continues to say that perseverance must finish its work. Why? So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, these trials come as a way to sharpen us, to help us, to prepare us. And we could take one or two positions when we face these trials. We could, you know, A, be bitter about them, be sad, be depressed, be discouraged, you know, doom and gloom.
Uh-huh.
Or we can have a fresh perspective and understand that, hey, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Those are some powerful words. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This too shall pass, and in Christ, in God, I can overcome. I can overpower this thing instead of this thing overpowering me. And the truth is that trials come and they do go. They do go. But the thing is that, you know, sometimes you don't know, like, am I coming or am I going from one? You know, and I think that you can either kind of find yourself at any point in your life in these kind of three areas. You know, you are either presently in a trial right now, or you're right smack dab in the middle of one, maybe a couple of them at the same time. Because sometimes you have, you know, different trials on different fronts. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got a financial situation going on. You got a family situation going on. You got a health situation. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know.
Right.
I'm fighting this battle on three fronts, you know. So you could be either in a trial or you could find yourself passing through the trial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been in it. You've been trusting God in it, and you're going through. I mean, you're going through it. The it seems like the worst is kind of behind you. You're coming out of this thing. And then you can be in this third area. You're not in a trial. You're not passing through it. You're kind of out, but there's one coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's one coming. Mm-hmm. There's one coming. You know, you're just about to get into one. And so the thing is like, man, what's the deal here? You know, Jesus told us, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be like, you know, oh, another situation is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be shocked because Jesus told us, you know, in this life you will have trials, you will have tribulations. But cheer up because I've overcome the world. I've overcome. You know, God made us in his image and in his likeness. He's called us to be overcomers. He's called us to be more than conquerors, to overpower these things that try to come to take us out, take us down. And you can't allow what you're facing to beat you. You just can't. You can't just roll over, but you instead must, you know, beat it. You must overpower in Christ and in the Lord. And sometimes we think that we've overcome something, you know, Pat, because we think the pressure is gone and, I made it,
right.
You know, and because a lot of the pressure has been relieved momentarily. But I think sometimes what happens there in those cases is that, you know, the devil just left you alone. You know what I mean? Because you already laid down. You know, a fight, there's no fight here. You're not fighting him back. You just laid down. And he's like, I'm just going to leave you alone. It's right. Almost like watching the Seattle Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos. That wasn't a fun game, you know?
Right.
That was a smackdown. It's like, do we have to keep playing this game? Do we have to keep watching it? And so you may think that you overcame, but what you had was a momentarily reprieve because he just got tired of whooping on you. You know what I'm saying? Some would say. But the truth is that, hey, it's not about being beat down. It's not about, you know, surviving until the next one. It's really about thriving. It's about facing the challenge head on, facing the obstacle and taking it on in Christ. And when I think about that, I think about King, well, King David, but he wasn't King David at the time. I think about David.
Uh-huh. Shepherd David.
Shepherd boy David. Little boy David. Mm. And, man, I just get so encouraged. As I was abiding and just reading God's word, I mean, I was afraid I wasn't going to just wake up the house, but wake up the neighbors because I just got so excited about this. But in 1 Samuel 17:32, David is getting ready to face a trial. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, David he's a shepherd boy at the time. He's a nameless and faceless guy. Nobody knows him. He's the runt of the family. And he's just taking care of a couple sheep. That's all he's doing. Mm-hmm. And his father sends him out to the battle lines. Hey, bring some lunch here to your brothers and, you know, see what's going on. Well, I'm paraphrasing here. And so David has had some experience in dealing with bears and with lions. And he notices that, you know, his brothers and the rest of the Israelite army, they're like cowering down. Like, there's no fight getting on here. Like, what's going on, guys? Mm-hmm. And he can almost sense the tension in the air with a knife. You know, you almost smell fear. You know, you can feel the presence of fear when you walk into a place or someone's carrying that spirit on them. It's like, what is that? And you can see that they're not getting it on. And there's a reason there, because this is Goliath, this giant, that's taunting them. He's taunting them. And David's talking all bold, and his brothers are getting upset with him. Like, man, get out of here. Uh-huh. And I love what David says. David said to Saul, this is the king now, little old boy David says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Like, oh, come on, David. He stands up in the middle of these soldiers, of these trained men. And if you don't know David's life, you're thinking, oh, this young boy's presumptuous. Oh, this young boy is full of pride. Oh, this foolish young man. Because listen to his words. David is saying in boldness, and he's saying it to the king, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. Hmm. Now, that would have shut some people down already.
Yeah.
Okay? Now God's called you and destined you to be an overcomer. Mm-hmm. This is what David's reply. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I've read this before. It's not like I always had a picture that David was standing in between the sheep and the bear. But no, the scriptures say that the bear and the lion actually took the lamb and he went after it. Mm-hmm. You know, some people get beat down. They go, well, I'll catch it on the next time.
Right.
David said, oh, no. Uh-uh. That don't belong to you. That belongs to God. That's my responsibility. I'm coming to get it.
Right.
And so he took the fight back to the lion and to the bear. And he says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. I mean, David just lays it out. See, David's, I'm an overcomer. Mm-hmm. Because I know my God. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Mm. And then Saul says to David, go, the Lord be with you.
I can't mess with that.
Hey, I can't touch this. Go and may the Lord be with you, my son.
Yeah.
You got to understand that when you are an overcomer in Christ, you're not looking to lay down. You're not looking to allow every situation to shut you up, set you down. But you're looking to step up and to step in. David saw a situation and said, here I am. He wasn't coming in his own strength. He was coming with the fact that he knew God. God was with him when he took care of the lion. God was with him when he took care of the bear. And he says, listen, I'm going to step up and I'm going to step into this situation. No reason to lose heart, man.
Mm-hmm.
This boy and my God, we're going to take this giant out. And David took what was in his hand and began to twirl it. David began to twirl. When we come back, we're going to talk about how David took on Goliath, the biggest opposition, the biggest trial that he had faced up to this point. We're talking about what some say is a 9-foot giant, and he's just a little old boy. And we're going to see and unpack more of how David was a true overcomer and how God's called us to be one as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, I love it when you ask me what I can do to help, but she said it's very different though when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, what can I do to help? What do you need from me? It almost implies like, hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help. You know, and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, where it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said, it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, and those that are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15:5-7, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. And we're just before the break, we're talking about becoming an overcomer. That's your destiny. And we're talking about how David, little old boy David, Pat, stepped up to the plate and says, fellas, don't lose heart. I'm here. Don't lose heart. I'm going to deal with this giant. I'm going to deal with this Philistine. And he walks with such boldness, and he was able to do something really extraordinary because God put it on the inside of him to be an overcomer. And he's facing this obstacle. I mean, he already dealt with the lion. He already dealt with the bear. And now he's getting ready to face his biggest challenge to date. And it's this at least 9 foot tall giant going against his little boy that grown men. The king says, hey, listen, you can't fight him. You're just a boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're just a boy. And this has been a fighting man from his youth. He's been a fighting man. I don't know if you can handle this. And David says, hey, don't be dismayed. I got this. I got this because I know who's with me. And David understood this. And this is kind of the point we're trying to get to here today, is that if God before you, who can be against you?
That's right.
You see, David and God were a majority. And so David took what he had in his hand. He went out to face this Goliath, a little slingshot, a couple stones, and he began to do business. He began to work it. See, it doesn't matter what you have in your hand. It matters that you just begin to work it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a little bit of finances, but you got God. Uh-huh. Go ahead and work it.
You got enough.
You know, you just have a little bit of faith, a mustard seed of faith. But your faith is in God, not in your job, not in your money, not in a person.
Right.
Go ahead and begin to work it. You know what I'm saying? You have just a little bit of strength. But your strength, what you do have, you trust God for his grace and his empowerment to move you. All you got to do is go ahead and work it. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and work it. Because you're working it with God. You're not doing it on your own. You know? You just say, all I have is just a little bit of intelligence. I didn't go to school. I don't know. But what you have is what God has given you, and you're dependent on him and the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is go ahead and work it. Mm-hmm. And so David, all he had, Pat, was a little slingshot and a couple stones. And all he had to do was work it because he had God. And so he strikes the giant, and the giant comes down. The giant comes down. And listen, God wants us to face these things that seem and appear to be overwhelming. They appear to be so huge. They appear like this is the big one. And this is the one that's going to take me and take us out. And let me tell you, there are some dangerous things that we're facing. This is not to make light of anything, because we are definitely facing some serious things in life and in this world and in the days to come. Listen, if you're listening today and this is not really, you know, speaking to you today, hold on. Go ahead and file this one away. Mm-hmm. I promise you, you'll pull this one out. Yeah. Go ahead and get the podcast, because when you do the podcast, a little tip here. When you do the podcast, it just automatically downloads into your phone. And all you got to do is just go back and search. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We'll have it on the app. Yeah, it'll just jump in there, you know. Go to VFNTV.com and get on the podcast, and before you know it, you'll have it, and you can go back to it so you can be encouraged if this is not talking to you today.
Mm-hmm. It will be.
No, but it will. It will. And what I really wanted to get to here is in Romans 8. And I love this verse of Scripture. In Romans 8, verse 28, this is what the Word of God says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. I mean, we could probably just pause right there and spend an hour on that alone. Mm-hmm. Understanding that in all things, in all situations, in everything that we face, God, that's why the importance of, we got to know Him, and He has to know us, and we have this relationship. I'm talking about being an overcomer with the Lord, in the Lord, not apart from the Lord. He, because, you know, the overcomer's in you. And he says, we know that in all things, God works for the good. God is working on your behalf of those who, what, love Him and have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined. We have so much to talk about and unpack this. I want you to stay tuned to VFN Radio as we continue on our next program to continue to talk about this. God has a plan for your life. This thing is not supposed to take you out. You're supposed to overcome this in God. He's going to help you. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you grace to face the trial, the setback, everything the devil's trying to throw your way. Listen, you and God are a majority. You can take the land. You can take the mountain. This giant will come down in the name of Jesus. Overcomer, come on, come forth. Join us in the next program. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these, like, these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. They and so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell,
mm-hmm,
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And He introduced His Father through Himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours starting at 9 a.m. Central Time all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton, and we're talking about being an overcomer in Christ. And we're going to pick right back where we left off in Romans 8. And the Word of God just continues to just encourage us. He says, listen, know in all things that God works. We know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, and for those God foreknew. Means he knew you in advance, right? He knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. For those God foreknew, he also predestined, what? To be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So God foreknew you. You had a destiny already set for you. And he wanted to conform you in the likeness of his Son. Why? That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. I mean, do you see the progression here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God foreknew you. He predestined you. He wanted to conform you in the likeness of his Son. He called you, glorified you, and justified you. Like, what's the problem here?
Mm-hmm.
What then? Listen, what then shall we say? Understanding in view of all of this now, who God is and what his plan has always been for you. In light of all this, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for you, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's really the point of this. It's like, oh, really? I mean, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God? What is this thing that the enemy is trying to throw against me, my ministry, my family, my children, my finances, my health? What is this thing that this foreign object, if you will, that's trying to infiltrate my home, my mind, my heart? Out of here. Out of here in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to allow this thing to bring me down. In Christ, I'm going to be an overcomer. And he goes on to say, he did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I mean, if God already has given us his son, listen, God's going to give you every single thing you need. Every single thing you need to continue to persevere. And we drop down in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? He's like, come on. What can come against me? For your sake, we face death all day long. We are all considered as sheep to be slaughtered. He says, knowing all these things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. And not to allow anything to set you up and to take you down and to beat you down. Because, you know, with you and God, you're a majority. And once we have a revelation, that's why the importance of knowing God and meditating on the testimonies of his deliverance and remembering what God has done in your life. And, oh, yeah, God, you took care of us there, and you took care of us on that situation, and you've touched this person, and, oh, the goodness and the mercies of the Lord, you can encourage yourself like David did. David had to encourage himself in the Lord throughout his life. And I want to share this verse of Scripture in Hebrews 10. This is so awesome. It's in verse 39. It says, but we are not those. Well, let me back up. Verse 38 says, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Listen, if you shrink back, you'll fall back. But if you're not supposed to fall back, you're supposed to fall forward. You know what I mean? Though a righteous man falls seven times, he still gets up. If you shrink back, you'll fall back. Don't shrink back. But we continue to say, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Come on. Daniel says, but the people that do know their God, Pat, shall be strong and do exploits. They will be strong and do heroic things in the face of trials and tribulations. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you and God can make it. Listen, you may be going through some fires. You may be going, you know, the heat may be turning up. But listen, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, ye will make it. And you won't be burned. Rise up, overcomer. You and God. You can make it. You can scale the mountain. You can take that giant down. Don't shrink back. Advance forward in Jesus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that. And like you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then I'm not gonna buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? Why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mom ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped food. Your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's what
saying.
You do.
Oh, saying. Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. I think it was one of Christmas ribs.
He's from Detroit.
He's from Detroit. They don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does Slap Your Mama taste
like? It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot, hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of
sauce. Oh, wasabi.
Whoa, wasabi.
Whoa, I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought them both, actually.
You did?
I got in the powder and the sauce.
Well.
It's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, Slap Your Mama. I should have read that. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We've been taking the citizenship test, for a U.S. citizen. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, you have to be able to take this test. And it's 100 questions on the test, and if you pass it, it's you can become a citizen, but we're finding out as we're taking this little by little, about 5 questions at a time, that we don't know all this, and we don't know this, and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that Matt didn't know that. You know,
I know he's very close to getting deported.
That's right, because you're going to self deport. You know that he will be living in Pakistan. Pakistan. I mean, he don't even pronounce Pakistan like we do. It's Pakistan. It's Pakistan. And what we're finding out that we got to educate ourselves on this, because this is what's the original intent of our nation. And when you come in and become a citizen, or just like they just said, I believe at the inauguration, that everybody swears to uphold and protect the United States Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that we need to know that we're finding out about the Constitution. And that's the biggest thing, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. When somebody talks about doing away with the Constitution, they're talking about doing away with the supreme law of the land, making totally new laws, and we won't be made up the same way anymore. And so this is how it works. We're going to go to the next 5 questions. We're moving right along. We've passed the middle mark, and we're at question 61, which is the first question for today. But I want to be able to let you guys know the rules. Don't forget that we're going to give you time to think. You can take all the time you want to be able to think until we just say, come on, you got to come up with something. And when you're thinking, you'll be hearing... And that's your time to ponder, not Google. You need to figure out, you know, what the answer is. And once you have your final answer, you say you get your final answer. That's gonna be it. None of this jump. What about A, B, C? You know, like no. And then, of course, if you get it right, everybody always celebrates you. And if you get it wrong, okay. The first question today from the citizenship test of the United States of America to become a citizen and for you guys not to have to be deported from the United States of America and go to Pakistan, is why did the colonials fight the British? Why did the colonialists fight the British?
Whose question is it?
Okay. First question is going to go to John. First question is going to go to John. And the first question is, John, why did the colonialists fight the British? Why did the colonialists fight the British? All right, here's a question. The question on the citizenship test today for John is, why did the colonialists fight the British?
They were fighting for independence.
Well, yes, but they have, 27 reasons why that we know about, that they don't talk about. Mm-hmm. They just mentioned three on the citizenship test. They mentioned because of high taxes. Go figure, right? Taxation without representation is the only thing that most talk about. Mm-hmm. And because British Army stayed in their houses, that's huge. Because they would go in and just make themselves at home. Mm. They would take your food. They would slide over, and you had to let them stay there. Mm. They just pushed their way in. That's why it says in the Constitution that it can't be done anymore. But listen, if you do away with the Constitution, guess who's going to be sitting in your living room? Who's going to be sitting in your living room?
Can you put that grenade over there?
Yeah, right. You're talking about weapons bans. It's like, oh, my goodness. And the next one they list is because they didn't have self-government. Well, there's 27 reasons that were listed, but if you want to pass the test, you have those particular three. And but the big thing was there was no representative government, that the king was put himself over the church. They're trying to tell, what to do. And the First and the Second Amendments, that you can imagine if you don't have the right to bear arms, but soldiers can kick in your door with arms, that's not good at all. And so here we are on the next question. The next question is going to go to John. It's going to go to Pat. Here's the question. Question number dos. Question dos. Que dos, right?
Okay, dos.
Is Pat. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? This is for your citizenship. The whole 3 or 4 days we dedicated this on VFN radio when we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Can we give you his initials?
Come on. <You're
right>. All right, this is a shot.
Okay, here you go. Here.
Was it? You gonna give me initials?
Yeah. It has the alphabet. It's in the alphabet.
Okay, great. Jefferson.
Hey! Thomas Jefferson. As a matter of fact, John, you were actually there where he wrote it. Right? Yeah. Didn't you go to Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania?
Yeah, they still preserve the home, little place. It's pretty cool. They said it. I know it's amazing. You got to go down there if you ever get a chance. But it's right downtown area. You see all these downtown buildings, and you have the little house that's preserved. Half of a house actually that's preserved. Pretty cool.
So here is the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. Listen, if you're listening right now and you're worried about being deported, because you've been born here, you've been living here for like four generations, and you realize you don't know anything about your country. Hey, listen, we got all these segments on VFN Radio. You can listen to them, and we have a lot of good time with it. We're just having fun with it. But the truth is, we're learning as we go. We want it. We want this inside of us. We need to rediscover the original intent of our nation. John, here's a question. The question, the next question on the U.S. citizenship test is, when was the Declaration of Independence adopted? When was the Declaration of Independence adopted? Here's a question. The question is for John on the U.S. citizenship test, so that you do not have to go to Pakistan. Pakistan is when was the Declaration of Independence adopted?
A long, long time.
That was good. Yeah.
1776. I don't know. No.
What day?
That wasn't my voice now.
Oh, right. 4th of July?
Yes! That's so important because so many people say 4th of July is about picnics and water sports or fireworks. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks represent the battle that took place. And they're exploding over the flag. That's why you have Star Spangled Banner playing and you got fireworks going in the air. And sometimes the flags out there, it's like those are the combination of we're celebrating our independence. The day that we said, listen, it's over, Great Britain. You know, it's just not going to happen anymore. And that's when you have the Declaration of Independence, which has 27 reasons why. Hmm. It's not just taxation without representation. I remember when the progressive movement really started trying to promote that in the 60s, when they started having all these different little sayings about that and pushing it was taxation without representation, and they were trying to shift it to economic issues instead of spiritual issues. And it started really under Woodrow Wilson in the early part. Obviously, everything started under Woodrow, including the United Nations, mind you. Okay, Pat, here is the next question for today. This is our second to last question on the U.S. citizenship test. Is there were 13 states? There were 13 original states in America, name three. All right, Pat, this is the U.S. citizenship test. Name, there were 13 original states to America. Think about it, there's 50 today, possibly about to be 51, I would guess, in this term. Yeah. And original states, so name three of them. Name three
only
of them.
Only three?
Yeah, it's just three.
Only.
All right, how about eight. Pennsylvania? One. Virginia? Georgia.
Yeah. That was very good. Very good. That's kind of like, I don't know why you just named the southern states. Is there something we need to talk about?
Pennsylvania's not in the south. Southern.
Yeah, well, you're thinking about New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Delaware. I mean, those are like the northern.
He said Pennsylvania.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of like almost.
I worked my way down.
You work your way down. Well, these are the 13 original states, so you know them. It's New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Think about that. North and South Carolina has been around that long.
Wow.
Was Georgia one of them?
Well, I can finish yet.
Oh, I thought you're done.
And Georgia. Well, okay. Georgia was significant because remember that that when George Washington was trying to get Congress to pay for the soldiers' pay that fought for our freedom, that he had to go down to Georgia, which is named after King George, by the way. Go figure, right? George, where'd you get that name from? It's the king. And to get with that particular leader there to be able to come. I believe it was a governor, but it could have been one of the senators, probably a senator. I assume it's D.C., or it wasn't D.C., but it was the Congress. And he had to go, he rode horseback all the way down there to Georgia. Because he and this guy never showed up because Georgia was so big, they pretty much determined which way the 13 states went.
Oh, wow.
And so their population-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to get the buy-in, he rode horseback all the way down there to talk to him and encourage him to show up because he wouldn't even show up. And when he did, it just kept our country alive.
Wow.
Amazing. Totally amazing when you start thinking about this. Okay, here's the last question for today. It's going to go to John. John, here's the question for the U.S. That's just so tough for me. Like statistics.
I was wondering what was going on. Throat lozenge.
Well, it's because it's just tough. I mean, I think about, you know, the USS whatever ship. It just kind of comes out of me, but not, I guess, the United States. That's a United States citizenship. That helps out. John, the last question for today, so you don't have to go to Pakistan, is what happened to the Constitutional Convention? What happened at, sorry, what happened at the Constitutional Convention? All right, here we are. John, for the last question for the United States citizenship test for today is what happened at the Constitutional Convention?
My guesstimation would be that the Constitution was ratified at the Constitutional Convention.
Actually, that's when Thomas Jefferson wrote it. That's when they actually wrote the Constitution. The answer to the question is the Constitution was written. The Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution. Is that cool?
Wow.
So when you hear then about Constitutional Convention, that there's a convention, people, you know, you have a convention today, people come together. Well, they all came together to be able to write the Constitution, which Thomas Jefferson wrote without a computer. Wrote. Totally, totally amazing. Y'all did wonderful. Totally, totally wonderful.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. You want to visit them today. They're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Oh my goodness! Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue. A taste of Southern Soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road. Right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.